نبينا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. وقال الله عز وجل: قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم، وأيضا وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for our Lord, our Creator, our Provider, our Sustainer and Cherisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most beloved, most prestigious messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama, and upon his noble and purified family, and upon the righteous companions, and upon all of those who sincerely follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept our gathering here today and make this day, make this moment a means for our success, for our salvation, for our forgiveness, and also for our means to enter into the gardens of paradise on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Thumma ameen. Yesterday, as you all will very much have felt, it was a very, very challenging day for those people here in the United Kingdom. But nevertheless, this is merely a reflection of the day that we will all see on the day of Qiyamah, where the sun will be over our heads, where we will be sweating profusely, and so much so that we will be drowning in our own sweat. And this day, the day of Qiyamah, is a day where we will really, really suffer. So it's an opportunity for us to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just from the shaitan, but also from the temperature, from the shadeed temperature and the soaring temperature and the heat that we will face on the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Yesterday being a very, very hot day, I thought it would be prudent to talk about the heat in Islam and also the things that take place as a result of the heat as well, especially in this culture, and also things which are spreading like wildfire in our home countries as well. So we saw the temperatures rise in the UK above 38 degrees, and in some places in Europe it was touching 40, if not slightly more. So it was a very, very difficult time for Muslims and as well as non-Muslims here in the UK. And despite the warnings that were given by the Met Office and also warning by the NHS and the people who are there to protect you, to give you advice, in spite of it being there, people were actually doing the opposite of following the guidelines and following the advice of the NHS. So when the heat was increasing, for those people who were walking around in our community, you would also have seen that the clothes were decreasing. And this is a very important thing to touch upon. You might think it's obviously trivial, or it's something to smile about, or it's something the norm here in the UK, but for Muslims it's not the norm. For those people who have been to Saudi Arabia, been on Hajj throughout the year, you will see that Saudi Arabia is a very, very difficult terrain. And Pakistan and various other countries in the UAE and in Middle East is very, very hot and difficult and humid at that in those places. But nevertheless, you don't see them behave and undress the same way that the people undress and behave in this country, or especially in Europe as well. So the people here in this country were greeting the soaring heat by baring their skin and by welcoming the rays and the heat by uncovering themselves. However, as I mentioned, covering is actually the advice given to us by the NHS to protect yourselves from the ultraviolet rays of the sun, to protect yourselves from skin cancer, and to protect yourself and regulate your temperature in a better manner, is to actually cover yourself. And not just cover your body, but at the same time also to cover your eyes as well. Because when you look directly into the sun, when you look directly into the heat, then it has a damaging effect on your eyes and your irises as well. So these are two major points that I want to touch upon today. The uncovering of people during summer holidays or when you have soaring heat, and also the eyes and how they wander as well when it is a hot day, whether in the UK and Europe or anywhere else in the world. So we must not only protect our bodies from the ultraviolet rays and the harmful rays that come from the sun and from the heat, but also we must protect our eyes from the heat as well. And that doesn't just necessarily mean that you buy yourself some sunglasses and you shade yourself or you keep away from the heat. But no, there's a different form of protecting your eyes. Just the way we protect our body. And the purpose of clothing ourselves is not just to look good or to protect and cover our body, but it's also to maintain our modesty, our haya as well. And similarly, the eyes that we have been given, it is also necessary for us to protect our eyes and to use our eyes in the right manner, because our eyes connect to our hearts. And what enters into the eye will immediately and inevitably go into the heart as well. And those things that you see, you might think, oh, it's momentary. But when you are practicing, when you are praying, when you are trying to reflect and contemplate and you close your eyes, those images will immediately come back because they went into the eye and filtered into your heart. So protecting your body and from the sun and the UV rays, and also protecting your eyes from the heat as well, is a very, very important Islamic aspect that we need to discuss. So I'll just give you a brief background about what eyes are. Everybody has them, mashallah, and it is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just some basic facts and figures regarding the eyes. So our eyes weigh less than 30 grams each. Very, very small, insignificant, you know, amount of weight, how much the eyes weigh. Yet they are made up of more than 200 million working parts. All of the synaptics and the fibers and the connectivity, over 200 million parts are there within this small eyeball, which is enabling us to take in the light, take in all this information and understand and process all of these things taking place in this small eyeball of ours, which is weighing just 30 grams. And it serves a function that around half of the brain is dedicated towards, almost half of the brain. So all of the things that we process and the things that we see, they come through primarily through our eyes. Yes, we have our hearing and also our smell as well, but the majority of the information or the load and the data that is processed by the brain is done as a result of the information that is taken in by the eyes. So our eyes process more than 36,000 pieces of information every single hour. This is how much information that we are processing. When you make a video, and you know that each video, if it's 4K or 720 or 1080, etc., then a 1 minute video may be 500 megabytes, or maybe 1 gigabyte. If it's 8K, maybe even more, because each frame, there's a quality, there's amount of information and data, all of that is being processed by the camera, by the lens. Similarly, our eyes as well, a minimum processing of 36,000 pieces of information every single hour. So a huge amount of data is being downloaded constantly. But it's important for us to make sure that we have certain safeguards, certain things which prevent those things which are harmful to our heart and to our soul, to prevent them from entering into our heart and also into our soul. So sight is one of the most cherished senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and it provides 80% of the information that we use on a regular basis. 80% of the information that we grasp and that we understand from our surroundings, from our environment. So this is something that I wanted to share with you so we get a good background of the importance of the eye. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought you out of the wombs of your mothers knowing absolutely nothing. We didn't know anything when we came into this dunya. blank slate whatsoever, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us hearing. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Hearing is the first thing that a baby develops, you know, in the womb of a mother. Then it is the sight and the heart, that these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. But the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I gave you all of these things, these are a gift. These are for you to utilize in the correct manner. Your hearing should be focused on the remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on listening to the Quran, on listening to the salat upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to use in the correct manner, in the correct method, in the correct place and time. And similarly, the eye as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is not for you to waste around and to look at illicit things and haram things and those things which do not benefit you, those things that poison your heart and your soul, but to use your eyes for the reflection and to see the signs and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see the beauty of insan, the beauty of the dunya, the beauty of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal afida, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave you a heart, gave you a place to reason, to think, to contemplate, to process. La'allakum tashkurun, so that you may perhaps be grateful to all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the background that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that look at what you were and look at what you have and look what you were given. So it is not within our right for us to abuse the sight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, for us to abuse the hearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, or for us to allow our hearts to be corroded, or allow our hearts to be infiltrated by diseases and various other things. We must protect our sight, we must protect our hearing, we must protect our hearts, just the way the NHS and doctors will tell you, you must protect your skin from the sun on a hot day. Why? Because it can cause potential skin cancer. It can affect you, the rays can affect you, and they can damage your skin, and they can damage your cells as well. Similarly, we need to make sure that we are protecting our eyes as well, because they lead towards our heart. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He reminds us, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That say to the believing men that they must lower their gaze, they must lower their eyes, and they must guard their private parts. Because when you see something, then you are inclined towards that thing. It may attract you, then lust develops, and all of these other things develop due to the sight, due to that sight. And then it leads towards you either using or abusing your private parts. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same hukum for the women as well. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَزْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. That's even say to the believing women that they must also protect their eyes and lower their gaze and protect their private parts as well. Why? Because this is much more purer for both of them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all of the things that you do with your eyes, with your sight. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further reminds us that He knows the eyes which deceit and what people conceal within their hearts. Wallahu ya'alaw, the verse just eludes me now, but He knows that the eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He knows the eyes, He knows what you see. You know, sometimes you avoid somebody finding out what you're looking at with the phone, whether the way you tilt it, whether the way you look at somebody, or you look down and you quickly have a glance at something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows all of these deceitful views and these looking, the looks that you have, and how you look at people, and how you allow those thoughts and those images to infiltrate into your heart, and what is consequently then entered into your heart. So these are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, that the importance of the eye and how it has a connection to your heart and how it can corrupt your heart. So it's not just important for us to be covering ourselves and making sure that we are cool and calm during the summer heat, but also as Muslims we need to make sure that we are protecting our eyes as well. And you may see people drunk, and normally and ordinarily you think a person who is drunk is a person who is intoxicated, he is under the influence, he has consumed drugs or alcohol, and therefore he is intoxicated in that particular manner. But not drunk by the alcohol or down the throat, but rather people during summer holidays, people during the summer heat, become drunk by the glances that they repeatedly look at again and again and again through their eyes and it reaches their heart. This is another form of being intoxicated. This is another form of being under the influence. When you are constantly looking at people, and in this environment especially, it's very difficult to protect your eyes and your gaze. But nevertheless, it's important for you to make sure that you are in the right place at the right time and not in the wrong place at the wrong time amongst the wrong company. And you protect your eyes. You are responsible for where you go, what time you go, who you go with, and you know the surroundings and you know the environment and what it will be like. So it's up to you to make that decision to either go to those places where you will see people in their bikinis, where you'll see people in their shorts above their knees, where you'll see people with besharmi and behayai and begherti and immodesty. You know all of these places and these scenes. So it's up to you whether to protect your eyes or not to protect your eyes. This is a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon you. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam explains all of these elements. That the adultery, the zina, the fornication of the eye is the lustful look. One is an accidental look. You're walking and somebody passes you by and obviously you look at them once, that's it. One is the lustful look that you are waiting for somebody to come, or you are pursuing somebody and you are constantly engaged in that individual and what they are wearing, and you're checking them up and down like a scanner, what they are wearing, how they are behaving, how they are walking, and what they may potentially be wearing underneath. The lustful eye. This is the adultery of the eye, the zina of the eye. Zina is not just of the private parts, but the Messenger ﷺ here talks about the other forms of zina as well. The adultery of the eye is the lustful look. So ask yourselves, how many situations do you put yourself in, or do you put your children in, where they may end up looking at one person, and then as a result of them looking and looking and looking, end up being lustful and desirous towards that particular individual. The adultery of the ear is to listen to those things which take them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which take them to zina, which take them to fahsha and munkar and baghy and all of these things. You know those illicit phone calls that people make and the lines are still there, and when you call online and do all of these things, the listening of those things which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The adultery of the tongue is immodest speech. Those speech which takes you towards indecency and immorality, all of those words that you wouldn't necessarily use with your mother, with your sister, or with your daughter, but you're using these types of sexualized language with other people. This is a zina of the tongue as well. The adultery of the hand is the lustful grip. The adultery of the feet is when you walk towards those places, those maqams, those areas where you know prostitutes are abound, where you know that you can find sex wherever you want, where you can pay for something, where you can pick up somebody. You are walking towards these places. This is the adultery of the feet. When you are touching that individual, it is the adultery of the hand. When you are listening to all of these kind of attractive words, the adultery of the ears, and also the adultery of the eyes as well. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that all of this, it leads a person to their heart, and it infiltrates into their heart, and then the heart will either desire to go and act on all of the things that it has heard, that it has seen, that it has touched, that it has walked to. The heart will want that. Why? Because you have allowed the heart to be infiltrated and poisoned and corrupted by the things that you have seen, the things that you have heard, the things that you have done. And either the private parts will end up doing that thing, or if your heart is sound and salim and strong, then it will protect you and prevent you from doing that particular thing. So on a summer's day, yes, people may be complaining that it's very, very hot, and other people will be taking off their clothes, but we need to follow the guidelines of our deen, of our sharia, of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and make sure that we keep our clothes on, that we do not strip like the other people who are stripping in the streets, in the parks, in the alleyways, and wherever they may go. No, we maintain our modesty and our haya, and we maintain the regulations that Islam has given, and especially for men. I have seen many Muslim men who attend this very masjid and they're wearing shorts right up to here, swimming trunks. No, the Sharia has given us very clear guidelines and parameters that for the male, the minimum awrah, which means the minimum covering that a man must do, is that his knees must be covered. His knees must be covered from his navel all the way to his knees. It must be covered. When he is standing, his knees must be fully covered. And when he is bending down or leaning, his knees must still remain covered. This is the bare minimum that the Sharia requires for the males. And for the females, you already know that the entire body must be loosely covered. It must not be transparent. It must not be tight. It must not be provocative. They must be loosely covered. Whatever style that they want, but it must be loosely covered from the head to the toe. Their face, their hands and their feet can show, but other than that, they have to remain covered. So we need to remember what our deen teaches us, that yes, it may be hard, yes, it may be difficult, but if you want to undress or if you want to relax, and do that within your home, within the privacy of your home, and do not allow this fahsha and munkar and all this immodesty to spread in your community, and not allow your children to think it's okay to desensitize them and to normalize this type of behavior and this type of fashion, this type of covering for yourself, or allow them to view other people in an immodest manner. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So for summer, every single one of us, there is a jihad for us to do. You might think, well, what type of jihad are you talking about? But the jihad of the eyes as well. There is a jihad of the heart, jihad of the nafs. But in summer especially, there is the jihad of the eyes, to protect your eyes from the heat. Not just with sunglasses, but as I mentioned, by protecting your gaze and lowering your gaze and having the courage to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And do not even go near fornication and adultery. It is an abomination, an evil way, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith that you can see above, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has clearly expounded upon what is zina and the classifications and types of zina of the eye, of the sight, of the hearing, of the smell, of the hand, of the touch, of the feet, and where you go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't put yourself in that position and don't even think about going near that thing as well. The zina of the hands in this day and age is the typing that we do, is the searching that we do, is the access that we have on our phones, on our tablets, the zina of the feet. You know exactly what type of zina that you are committing. Keep away from all of these types of zina, especially the zina of the eyes, because the eye is one of the greatest ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, to see His signs, to see His beauty, to see the dunya, and for you to see the Quran and see the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama, and not to see all of these illicit things that are going in our community. So in the summer heat, make sure that you are protecting your eyes, you are lowering your gaze, and you are in the correct place at the correct time. And just like the other previous verse that I mentioned, tell the believing men that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty. This will be a greater purity for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well acquainted with what they do. You may think that nobody has seen you glance at that woman, that you may be hiding behind a newspaper or your phone, or thinking that you're not seen by a particular individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of what is in your heart, what is in your intention, and with the glances that you give, whether openly or hiddenly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there viewing all of those things. So our jihad in summer is not just to remain cool, not just to make sure that we maintain our body temperature, but also we make sure that we protect our eyes and protect our eyes from all of this fahsha and munkar. Lowering your gaze is turning our faces away when we see indecent and immodestly dressed men and women walking on the streets on a hot day. This is what jihad is of the eyes, and not just looking at them thinking, wow, okay, or just glaring at them and gawping at them and seeing them walk from the top of Wimsler Road all the way to the bottom of Wimsler Road. No, you see a person once, that's it. You lower your gaze and you move on. You don't wait and you don't turn back and you don't look that, you know, if she turns around or not, or if she will give you lift, all of these things. No, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has clearly mentioned that a man should not look at the awrah of another man. That you're not allowed to look at another man with any form of lust or desire, anything like that, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Should keep away from all of these things as well. And similarly, a woman should not look at the aura of another woman. But in this day and age, everything is kulla khata, moj karo, aram karo, it's fine, chalo khair hai, garmi hai, la diyo. And you see this in Pakistani culture now, unfortunately. Before, if you go back 20 years, 30 years, rewind, and you see women dress much more modestly. But now, you see them and their clothes are transparent, they are see-through, and especially when it is hot and with the sweat, you can see their entire skin and their body, and you see that their sleeves used to be there, and then it is there, and then it is there, and now it is over here in Pakistan. What is going on? And similarly with their ankles as well, and for men as well. We need to be very, very careful about how we dress and how we carry ourselves. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that towards the end of times, There will be women who will be covered, yet they will be naked. And the Sahaba Ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, how is that possible? And he said, they will be covered, but their covering will be so tight and so transparent that they will be as they are walking naked. And for these women, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that they will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah, even though you can smell the fragrance of Jannah for over 100 years away of distance. So this is what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was saying. For women, and this also applies for men as well, that we are required to dress modestly to make sure that we fulfill all of the requirements of Sharia, not the requirements of the culture, not the requirements of the society, what is acceptable, what is unacceptable, but no, according to the acceptability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So lowering your gaze is not just merely in public, when you go to a park, when you go to the cinema, when you go to the town or anywhere else in public spaces, but it also equally applies when you're watching TV. I know many people who watch a particular program specifically because of that presenter, or they watch particular news programs. Why? Because of the way that that woman dresses, or the way that they behave, or the way that they present that particular program. So whether it's TV, whether it's the media, whether it's the internet, whether it's your tablet or channels or presenters, you need to still maintain the parda, the sharam, the haya, the modesty, and you lower your gaze even when you are watching and viewing all of these things as well. And if you see something which is not acceptable according to the parameters of Sharia, you are duty bound to change that channel, to switch off the TV, and to instruct yourself and your children that this is not acceptable. This is not something that we push or we encourage or that we allow within our deen. Because if you allow it today, then you will normalize it for your children. And then what would be normal for your children today will be extreme for another generation and another generation, i.e. will become more and more acceptable for them to wear less and less and wear more and more revealing clothes. So lowering our gaze means to plan our activities away from indecency like the beaches. People say it's a hot day, or let's go to the beach, let's go to Blackpool. But you know exactly the ramifications, the consequences of going to the beach. You know exactly what you will find when you go to the beach. You know that you will see naked women. You know that you will see naked men. How can you justify that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, it was a hot day. Allah, I need you to go out. Allah, I need you to take my children out and allow them to relax. But you can go throughout the year. You can go at times when it's not scorching hot. You can go to other types of beaches when people are not dressed in an inappropriate manner. You don't have to take them to the beach. You can take them so many other places where there is modesty and haya and around them. Why do you need to take them and expose them to this fitna, this facade, this corruption, allow their eyes to be infiltrated and allow for their hearts to be infiltrated as well? You will be questioned about that on the day of Qiyamah. And the same goes for parties and the same goes for other events. You are responsible for yourself, responsible for your children, and you'll be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the excuse isn't, it's just a hot day, let me strip, and I let my daughter, I let my sister, I let my wife strip, or allow our eyes to watch all of this indecency. No, the jihad is to protect your modesty, to protect your haya, to protect your gaze, and remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you about all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with, what you did with your hearing, what you did with your sight, and what you looked at, because you know very well from your own experience that once you see something, it's very hard to get it out of your mind. You might think that, oh, you forget that after an hour or 2 hours or 3 days, but it's still there in your memory. And when you are focusing and trying to work and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the time when the shaitan will bring that image in front of your eyes whilst you are praying your salah, whilst you are reading your Quran, and say, this is what you used to look at. And this is what will be recorded for us on the day of Qiyamah, and those images will be shown to our family.